Good evening. It's 6 o'clock and Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm now called to order the Planning Commission meeting for March 3rd, 2020. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Martin?
Here.
Vice Chair Shiro is absent tonight. Commissioner Maravilla?
Here.
Commissioner Montes?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Here.
We can all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And before I get into the agenda review, if there's people in that viewing audience that are out there and have been living under a rock, today is Election Day. Polls in our community are still open for another hour. If you have not yet voted, I strongly encourage you to go out, find your polling place, and please vote. And with that, let's go on to the agenda review. Any of the fellow commissioners want to revise or make any adjustments to the agenda tonight? Seeing none. The next item is a community comment and period. This is an opportunity for the members of the community to present issues and thoughts on items that are not on the agenda. At this point, we have no one in the audience, so there's no need to open it for public comment and close it to public comment. Going on written communications, are there any additional written communications that we're not able to get into our packet tonight?
No, not received.
Very good. Thank you. We do have one item on the consent agenda. It is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of February 4th. And I will entertain a motion for approval.
I motion to approve.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. We have a roll call, please, on the consent agenda.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
And Chair Martin?
Yes. We have no public hearing items on the agenda tonight. We will go to the non-public hearing items. It is a consideration of the 2019 General Plan Annual Report. And Mr. Perez, I believe you may have a short presentation for us.
Yes, I do, Chair Martin. Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. Here to discuss the 2019 General Plan Annual Report. A little background about the report. California Government Code 65400 requires that each city to report the status of their general plan implementation to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research by April 1st each year. In addition to that, housing-specific data is also required to be presented to the Department of Housing and Community Development by that same date. The government code also mandates that each city brief their legislative body on the general plan annual report prior to submittal to the state, so we'll be taking this to City Council in their second meeting of this month. But given that Planning Commission is the main entitlement body for most of our planning entitlements, we thought, you know, out of courtesy, bring it to the Planning Commission and get your input as well. So the annual report itself updates on the status of the 7 required general plan elements, those being land use, circulation, housing, conservation, open space, noise, and safety, as well as any optional elements that the city should or has adopted, which in our case is agriculture, economic development, and parks and recreation. So the general purpose of the annual report is to report data to the state regarding trends in land use. Also helps inform local decision makers regarding issue areas and allocation of resources, both financial and with regards to staffing levels. And finally, also informs the public of the progress towards meeting the community's goals that are outlined in the general plan elements. So within the annual report, which is a factual document, you'll see basically a brief review of the work we've completed in 2019. And it is no means a comprehensive list of all the work that staff has done within the past year. The state doesn't mandate the format in which we report the progress on non-housing items. The housing data is submitted on a state-provided worksheet that is not the easiest to work with and can be difficult to reproduce. And as you saw in your staff reports, you know, we really didn't have a good way to give you that data on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So we do have an electronic copy. If we're interested, we can pull that up and take a look, closer look. So the annual report is not meant to be an elaborate or time-consuming process. It's just kind of a quick debrief on what's happening and what the status of each of the elements are. And then, you know, each year we build on the previous year's annual report for comparative reasons and just kind of give us an idea of where we were and where we're going. So some highlights from this year's annual report. We have three elements that are currently in the process of being updated. The first being the circulation element. This is in response to the state mandate that we change the way we evaluate traffic impact analysis based on Senate Bill 743. So we'll be looking at vehicle miles traveled rather than the traditional level of service metric that's been used in the past. We're in the process of updating the parks and recreation element. That's just been, it's been a long time since we've looked at that element. So I think it was last updated in 2001. So it's just time to update that and make sure it's still relevant and gives us some good goals to shoot for. It's in the community. And finally, and probably the most pressing, is the housing element update, which we had a kickoff meeting last week with the consultant. So it's really kicking into high gear. That's required to be certified by HCD by the end of this calendar year. Other work efforts include the entitlement of three mixed-use projects in our community, resulting in 55 new dwelling units that were entitled and almost 5,000 square feet of commercial space. I've also found the we need to update our ADU ordinance, also in response to state legislation that has made portions of our ordinance kind of moot at this point. So we're in a reaction to that. We'll update our ordinance. Staff applied for SB2 grant funding to help assist with some of these long-range planning efforts as well. And lastly, I just want to note that due to some personnel changes we had in the planning division and community development as a whole, unfortunately, some of these long-range planning efforts kind of got pushed to the wayside as we focused on current planning applications. But with some stability in our organization now, we can hopefully focus on some of those long-range issues and make some real progress towards those. And finally, planned updates. The land use element will kind of put a bow on the general plan once we get the circulation, the housing, and the parks and rec updated. That'll bring it all together. And the safety element will be updated once the county hazard mitigation plan is finally certified, which is in the works and in draft form right now. And so finally, annual reporting is exempt from CEQA, on basically the common sense exemption that there's no way this can have an impact on the environment. And tonight's agenda was posted in accordance with all government code regulations. And finally, staff recommends that the Planning Commission receive and file the 2019 General Plan Annual Report for acceptance by the City Council. And staff's here to answer any questions, should there be any.
Great, thank you very much. Mr. Sage, do you have any questions as you review this?
Yes, Chair Martin, I do. I'd like to start actually with back with the...
make sure you're speaking into your microphone enough so everybody can really hear.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The one item that actually caught my eye was, of course, the staffing and or the lack of staffing. And I find it very commendable that the current staff was able to accomplish as much as they did in 2019. But I see that for 2020, we have a lot of big items coming up. which I'm supposing is going to require additional staff. If it hasn't been done, I strongly recommend to our city council to adjust funding as necessary to allow the city to acquire the staffing they need in the planning department. I think that's going to be critical for the city and the direction that we want to go. There also happen to be a couple of items in the charts that I just wanted to find out about. On page 19 in the chart, down in the second column, A14.1 or -1, it addresses the term attainable housing. Do we have a definition for attainable housing?
Commissioner Sage, at this point, we do not. That was an objective listed in the previous housing element update. I think it's something we're definitely going to look at with this housing element update and determine whether that definition or that still needs to be defined or whether there's a more appropriate terminology for attainable housing as referenced in the document.
Okay. And thank you for that. I'm aware that the county is also playing with that term, attainable housing, and I'm a little curious as to how the local municipalities are going to define whether there's going to be a common definition or it will be defined locally. Be curious about that. On the page 20, the second column also, B6-1, and addresses the city shall monitor the loss of permanent workforce housing from vacation rentals and consider modifying development code to adjust for this loss. Do we have a set limit or a goal or a target for that to decide whether we need to adjust or not?
At this time, we do not. That objective and policy was more subjective in nature.
Okay.
We do have the 300-foot buffer in place for any two rentals on the same street, but other than that, there's not a cap that's been established to limit the number of homestays and vacation rentals in the city.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. And I think those are the only questions I was able to identify in that report.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Miravilia, do you have questions for staff on this?
Thank you, guys. I did have kind of one question, and it was kind of going along with Commissioner Sage's comment with the staff restrictions having caused a lot of these things to not be done during this time period. Is this in any way going to affect, like, all the staff reductions that we had and not meeting any of these objectives? How is it affecting us in terms of arena numbers and how the state looks at that? Are we being negatively affected by that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we are. So when the arena numbers are established, the state, you know, assigns them to regions, and then SLOCOG assigns us our arena.
But we basically did nothing in 2019 to even try to hit where we need to get to, basically. So is there any concern with that is essentially what I'm asking?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, the arena is primarily based on future housing needs rather than reaction to implementation of our objectives and policies.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Give me 1 second. Oh, my only other question, and this might be kind of, I don't know, ignorant on my part, but there was another section, I think it was on page 27. There was a different one too, on 29, but similar question. In terms of like ADA and it would be L21. We didn't meet that particular goal due to staff constraint. Does this open us up to any liabilities for not meeting ADA standards? that we had wanted.
For the record, this is Whitney McDonald, the Community Development Director. It's not ideal.
Right.
For a number of reasons. And so developing an ADA transition plan is certainly something that is at a high priority on our list. And it affects not just our, you know, community development department, but it affects the city's operations as well. So right. It needs to be a really concerted effort among all the departments. So to answer that question, yeah, it's not ideal.
Right.
And so that's why it is something that we're going to try to tackle right away.
Okay.
We also are going to be working with the JPIA, which is our insurance program. They have a program to help jurisdictions develop their ADA transition plans and then actually implement them.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That's something we've looked into in the past, and we're going to be resuscitating that work effort, which had been started previously and
right.
kind of like other
things.
I mean,
things yeah. happen. I just was kind of trying to gauge
yeah.
the, you know, consequences of everything that's happened as well. So I guess that would be my other question on 29 is kind of similar. Page 29, N11. We didn't prepare a brochure to promote the equal housing opportunities and address discrimination. Is that another area that could open us up to liabilities if we don't get to it sooner than later?
My guess with that one is because it's really informational for the public,
mm-hmm.
It's less of a, you know, like a liability concern.
Okay.
But because we have identified it as a program and
right.
an implementation measure, it would be something that we would hopefully actually implement. But I think it is intended to just provide that information for the public to make sure.
There's no mandate or anything that we need to do these type of things by the state.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I think those are my questions.
Ms. Montez?
I do not have any questions. I just want to thank staff for their time on this, and I look forward to seeing what you can accomplish in the next year.
Thanks. And I have a couple. I'm going to piggyback on the staffing and just and pose it differently, and hopefully, and I haven't warned staff I'm going to ask it in this way, but obviously we're all familiar with the changes in staffing here in your department. And my question really is there any update that you can share with us now about any additional changes or, you know, filling those voids that have been there that you can share with us tonight?
Well, one thing that we can share, and I was planning on getting there, but I'm glad to do it now, is we have promoted Patrick Holub to an assistant planner. And so we are filling out our planning department, and it's really wonderful that Patrick gets to, you know, join us. He's not moving far. We get to maintain this continuity of service to the public and also bring him in, and you'll be seeing him more bringing projects in front of you. And so we're really excited about having Patrick take on this new role and responsibility with our department. We haven't yet made a final decision about what to do with the planning manager position that has been vacant for a while. So that on that issue, I can't really give you anything further.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, that is exciting news. Congratulations, Patrick.
Yeah, congratulations, Patrick.
Nice to have some continuity, certainly familiarity with what's going on in the commissioners here and the process, what's going on. I think it'll be a real asset to the staff. Thank you very much. And the other questions that I have, they're on page 7 of the front end of this. It says planning staff submitted application in December to obtain the SB2 grant funding. Is there any kind of timetable on when we might get a response from the state on this application?
I don't think there is a timeline that's been established. I know we can check in with our local HCD liaison and get an update, and we can do that and bring it back to the commission prior to next meeting.
And that'd be great if we could do that. For me, I know that a lot of this is just here again tonight. We're just kind of, you know, reviewing and making comments. If nothing more, I think just to highlight for the city council to make sure that these are pending items or open items, all these things that I think the commissioners have highlighted today are things of interest that we just don't want to lose sight of. And so this is just one of them that certainly there's nothing that staff can do directly to get the state to respond, but these I know are be valuable funds to be able to have. Yep. And let's don't lose sight of being able to seek updates from the state or whoever it is that we need to get updates from in order to get that taken care of. The other item that I have, and it's kind of piggybacks on some of the others, if we can go to page 16 and the regional housing needs of the RENA, the progress, I think for Ms. Maravilla, as a reminder, I'm not sure whether she saw this or how much time she really looked at it. I had a question earlier when I was reviewing this, when they had 2018 and 2019 information. I said, gee, I'd love to be able to go back 5 years and see what our activity has been. And lo and behold, in the middle of the document, here's actually a six-year tracking of what's really been going on. And for me, I think it's more of an observation and a reminder to the greater community, as well as for us as commissioners and for applicants and for staff and the city council as well, to really look at it. Total units to date, and this is in the last 6 years, we've approved 237 units, but of those 237, 188 are above moderate. And so we have almost doubled the number of above above moderate or higher end housing in the community. And if you look at it, we've had virtually no real impact on these non-deed restricted and lower end, and however we call very low or lower, this housing. For me, I think my hope would be, whether we have other meetings and talking about the housing element and stuff like that, really highlighting that we've been more than successful in supporting developers and building housing that is above and quite a bit above the median income needs and the median property values here in our community. And at some point I'll use the term woefully inadequate, but it's not a specific fault of staff, but I think that we as a community need to be looking much more closely at addressing the needs in that portion of the housing element. And I know that there are new numbers, a new 8 or 9 year period where we've got 700 homes plus or minus that were expected to be built in our community. And we just can't continue on a similar vein as we have in the last 6 years historically. We need to be encouraging a broader range of housing construction, housing development. So that's more of an observation and a comment. No question that there are staff, there's not much more you can do. But I do appreciate the 6 years of history. I think that's does illuminate quite a bit of what has been happening in the community and what we need to be able to do. Mm-hmm. Those are the comments that I have. Do we need anything other than just a, here again, I don't want to sound trite, but a nod of of that we've, our comments alone have provided this kind of review. I don't think there's any kind of formal motion that is needed in order to pass this on to a city council. Am I correct in that understanding, or would you like to see a motion of some kind saying that we've evaluated and are prepared to just forward this document onto City Council for their review?
I think it is. I mean, it is on just as a receive and file, but I think that if there is something that you would, a specific kind of recommendation or a kind of notation that you would like to pass on to Council, maybe a motion would be helpful to just get the full commission's take on that, and we'd be happy to take that forward. But if it's just a, we're good with it as it is, I think you could just receive and file it.
Well, I'm going to make a motion, I think, just for, if nothing okay. more for clarification. It's kind of, to me, it's interesting, we're all supposed to kind of wink and nod up here that, that we've read it and received it. I think the four of us through, here again, fairly brief questions, but recognize that we don't have an awful lot of authority over really what goes into it, and recognize that. But I will move that we, to confirm that the Planning Commission has received, this document, and based on comments that are in the record here tonight, we encourage the City Council to include them in their you know, thoughts and observations as they, as this general plan gets filed with the appropriate authorities. And if I can get a second to that, that'd be great.
I'll second,
I think.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We've got a second and a third. If we get a fourth here, we may not even need a vote here.
Here we go.
Ms. Maravilleva is 0.2 seconds ahead of Commissioner Sejan. If we can get a roll call vote, please.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilleva?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Very good. I think we can put that to rest. Thank you very much, everybody, for reading that. And may it go smoothly with City Council as well. Okay, let me get back to my agenda here. The next item is 9B, the consideration of a Planning Commission appointment to the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Committee. Again, Mr. Perez.
Yeah, thanks, Chair Martin. So a little background, the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Program was established 6 years ago, and essentially what it is City Council has allocated $20,000 each fiscal year that gets awarded to local organizations that provide some direct services to the community. Applicants of qualified organizations submit an application each fall, requesting a certain chunk of that $20,000. And you know, as every year we've seen, the requested money exceeds that $20,000 lump sum that's allocated towards that purpose. So what the grant panel does is evaluates each application based on its merit and kind of awards each organization a sum of money of that $20,000 pot. So this year the grant panel is made up of one member of each of the Planning Commission, the Architectural Review Committee, the Downtown Parking Advisory Board, the Arroyo Grande Tourism Business Improvement District Board, and one member from the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. So today we're looking for one member of the Planning Commission to serve on the grant panel and one alternate should the primary designee not be able to make it. The grant panel meeting tentatively scheduled for Friday, March 20th in the afternoon from approximately 3 to 5 o'clock. So something to keep in mind as you decide who's going to represent the commission.
Very good. Thank you. I think that for the last 2 years, former Planning Commissioner Lon George, who's now a current city council person, has sat on that committee and really enjoyed looking at those applications and appreciating the efforts of these local, you know, nonprofits and local organizations. And not that the decision was easy, but it was an enjoyable process to engage with these you know, local charities and being able to hand over some modest funds from the city. Is there a volunteer that'd be interested in sitting on that committee?
I do have a question. Is it just the one meeting? Is it an annual meeting and that's on March 20th? Or is it, do they meet more often, the committee?
It's just a single meeting. And then it's a recommendation to City Council to award those funds. So once the panel's made up, you'll get a binder of all the applications and materials submitted from each organization about a week in advance. Give you time to look at it and grade each application based on its merits, and then the panel will come together, have a discussion. In the past, occasionally a representative from the organization would come and make a presentation on the organization's behalf.
Okay.
But as Chair Martin said, everyone who I've spoken with that served on the panels really appreciated the efforts put forth from these organizations and found it very gratifying.
I don't know if anyone else is interested.
The last 2 years on it.
From another capacity, but you served on the
committee. I'm
sorry? From another.
I was on the Traffic Commission.
Okay.
I represented, and then in the Historical Resources Commission, I represented
one
too.
Commissioner Maravilleva, are you interested in?
I would be interested in being an alternate, possibly. But if I would say if you would like to do it, you should.
Yeah, I'd like to do it, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we have an acclamation of Commissioner Montes will take the lead, and Maravilleva will be an alternate if for some reason there's a conflict you're not able to attend.
All right.
And if she's not able to attend, I'll stand in a second alternate. I think we've got that covered at this point.
And may I ask, when it was renamed, why was it renamed to Councilmember Guthrie's name?
Oh.
Is it? He was a council member, correct?
At one time? Yeah, he was. Jim served on the city council for a number of years. He should be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. For a number of years. And he was very instrumental in putting together some plans to have the city provide support to our nonprofits.
Okay.
And that continued on. And at some point, the council decided to name the grant process after Jim.
Okay.
In honor of his very in-depth involvement in the process.
Great, thank you.
Very good. Now, next item is the notice of administrative decisions. Since February 2nd, there are two items on here. Are there any questions from the commissioners on either one of these decisions that were made?
Not for me.
No question.
Hearing none. Commission communications, any comments before we close the meeting from the commissioners that they'd like to make to the public at this point in time?
Not me.
No, not me.
We got a quiet group here tonight. Any staff communications?
Thank you. I was just going to take this opportunity to let you know about Patrick, but we got that taken care of and took that opportunity earlier, so that's great. One other item I wanted to mention is that there's going to be a housing summit on April 3rd that a number of organizations in the county are going to be attending. The SLO Chamber of Commerce, I believe the EBC, the county is going to be involved, and the county and all of the cities, as well as SLOCOG, are considering something called a regional compact that the Grover Beach City Council just approved last night and will be on our city council agenda for next week as well. And it's a regional effort to try to identify some regional goals for housing. It's really been spearheaded by the county and through SLOCOG as well. And so that's going to be an item of discussion as well at the Housing Summit on April 3rd. And so I just wanted to make that aware to you that it is a community event that's available, and to see, you know, if anybody's interested in attending. You know, I think we'll have a representative from our jurisdiction there as well. People are going to be setting up booths to talk about their housing element process, and you'll see a lot of other kind of speakers. If you go to the Chamber of Commerce, the SLO Chamber's website has some information about the event as well, so just wanted to make you aware of that.
Thank you.
And to give you a brief update, as Andrew mentioned, we did have a kickoff meeting with our housing element consultant, and so we will be bringing the next item for you on that is a public workshop. We're looking at the idea of possibly having a joint Planning Commission City Council meeting to have that first workshop, because I know it's an issue of concern to everybody, and that way we get feedback from everyone at the same time if possible. We're currently looking at April or May, but I know that doesn't give you a whole lot of detail, but just wanted to make sure you were aware that we are working on that, and that's the next step with that item. So if that's great. It, that's all for me for now.
Thank you.
And if I can just piggyback on staff, I'm not that I'm staff by any stretch of anybody's imagination, but at our next meeting, isn't it going to be agendized that we're going to be selecting a new chairperson?
Yes.
For this commission.
Thank you. Yes, that's correct. So you will see that on your next agenda as well. And that's actually set out in our bylaws or rules of
procedure.
Local ordinance. Yes. So you'll be seeing an opportunity to identify a new chairperson and vice chair.
I can't believe a year's already flown by.
Yeah, it goes fast. So anyway, keep that in your thoughts and considerations.
Yeah. And so we will be having a meeting at our the next meeting in
on
February.
The 17th.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Very good, and I think that's it. With nothing else to discuss or take place, and the agenda has been taken care of, this meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.